There are two sides to Craig Berube's hockey career. The 17 years playing as a player in the National Hockey League, racking up 3,000 penalty minutes. And then there's the coaching aspect, guiding the St. Louis Blues to a Stanley Cup championship. You put them together, and what happens is I will very politely talk to Craig about what's happening in the Western Conference, size up the favorites there, plus hot-button topics in the East, from the New York Rangers to the Toronto Maple Leafs, on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
What are you gonna do? You!
Ah! Hit him, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit! That's solid.
All right, let's get into it. Looking forward to chatting with Craig Berube in just a little bit. One of nine guys with 3,000-plus penalty minutes in his National Hockey League playing career. And it's interesting. You look at him and you think, all that time in the penalty box, and how did he become a Stanley Cup winning coach? Well, there's a certain trend here, because Rick Tocchet is also top 10 in penalty minutes. Doesn't have 3,000, won't get there. But a couple of guys that played the game really hard and are now are very influential behind the bench in the National Hockey League. Berube's won a Stanley Cup, and Rick Tocchet has led that remarkable turnaround in Vancouver and chasing down a division title on this stretch drive. It is chaotic right now in the Western Conference, and you have a great battle in the Pacific and an unbelievable stretch drive coming up in the Central, and there's nobody better to really give us some inside knowledge on who is a real contender and who might be challenged to make this thing happen and capitalize on the opportunity. Vancouver, Vegas, and Edmonton in the Pacific. Edmonton just had its big, long winning streak snapped at 16, second longest in NHL history. And then you've got Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg in the Central. Is there a favorite in there? We'll talk to Craig Berube about that. And a bit of a question mark regarding the Los Angeles Kings, who have dropped into a wild card spot. Can they get back to it? I've got one real plus on the LA Kings, and then a question mark, a surprise, and it has to do with Craig Berube. That after our conversation with the former head coach of the St. Louis Blues and now a member of the TNT team. He's going to do some work there. I saw him. Like, I looked up and he's on TV. I'm like, wow, that's interesting, because 9 times out of 10, 49 times out of 50, a coaching change is made and you don't hear from those coaches for a while. They just disappear. They exhale. But Craig's right back into it. So why not bring him on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard? Hey, before we get too deep into the actual hockey talk, you've been out there. We've seen a little bit of you lately. Is that conscious that you wanted to be in front of the media and talking to people a little bit more?
Well, I think, when you get, you lose your job and you've got free time in your hands, people reach out and, they want to talk to you about things and stuff like that. And, I've done some of it and done a, TNT there the one time, so we'll see where that goes. I might do more of that and just kind of play it by ear, but definitely coaching is what I want to do, and when the time's right and a team reaches out and we discuss things and it's the right situation, then I'm hopefully be back in coaching.
Give us the early behind the scenes report from what happens with the TNT guys, the real dirt, Chief.
Yeah, it's what's that?
The real dirt.
What was that?
The real dirt.
No real dirt. It's pretty casual. I mean, great people to work with there. And, they just want you to be yourself and give you a little bit of a rundown on, what's going on that night and things like that. But for the most part, it's pretty ad libbed and pretty casual. Liam does a great job of, directing everything on the show, the host, and, good guys to work with, and so I really had a good time when they're doing that show, and we'll see where it leads.
You mentioned you do want to coach. Has anybody reached out to you? Have you talked to anybody, even casually?
No, not really, not too much. I mean, pretty quiet, to be honest with you. Like, so I think summertime or after the season will probably be when things heat up.
So you are a Western Conference guru when it comes to being able to give us the inside scoop on how things are going to shake down. And we've got two highly competitive divisions. Let's take us down the Central right now. And yes, this three-headed monster between Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg. Is there a best team among those three?
That's a tough question. I think if I had to pick, I think – in my opinion, Winnipeg and Dallas's goaltending situation is in a better spot than Colorado's. For me, Colorado, has lost some players, Landeskog, Nikushkin recently. Those are holes that have to be filled in that team, in my opinion. They're still obviously a very good team with their decor. I think their decor is obviously very good with Makar and Taze back there. And up front, McKinnon and Rantanen. They're great players, and they carry a lot of the load. But I believe they're lacking a little bit of depth, as Winnipeg and Dallas have more depth, in my opinion, throughout their lineup.
What's allowed Winnipeg to make the strides from last year's playoff to now?
Couple changes they made in their roster, obviously, with letting Wheeler go and Dubois. I thought the trade for Dubois, they got some good pieces back, some guys that work hard and are competitive players. They're playing a very strong team game up and down their lineup. I think the line of Lowry, Niederreiter, the winger is Appleton, I believe, the other winger. Great. That's a great identity line for them. I think that they're leading the way there in that department. And obviously Connors and Scheifele are great players. So for me though, and Hellebuck's having a great year again, like he normally does. They're just solid that way. I think they just play a real good team game and they use everybody in their lineup. And they got great chemistry going right now. Chemistry is a big thing in hockey. It just really seems to me like Bones has them playing the right way night in and night out and playing a team first mindset game.
Dallas and Colorado have had recent success. Is that going to be any type of Achilles heel for Winnipeg?
Well, they're both teams are very good and you're going to have to go through them to get past them. So somebody's going to have a tough matchup immediately. I don't know who it is, but somebody's going to have a tough matchup right away. You're going to have to play extremely well to get through it. It's going to be a tough matchup no matter what. I believe Colorado's probably going to do something at the deadline to boost their roster a little bit and add some depth. Dallas, I'm not sure, so sure. They're a pretty deep team up and down their lineup, in my opinion. But, it's a big game for Winnipeg tonight in Philadelphia here. We'll see how it goes.
What do you think of Zach Parise going into Colorado?
Well, I think that's a good pickup. He's a player that's been around a long time. Has been a top-end player, in Jersey and somewhat in Minnesota. He's a worker, which is good for their team. He's a competitive player, and it's going to take him a little bit of time to get going here. He's missed a lot of hockey. I know he's been skating and things like that, but the competition of it all, it'll take a little time, but I do like it. I do like the signing.
How much of a surprise should it be to what Vancouver's been able to do under your buddy, Rick?
Yeah. I think Tox and his staff have done a great job of instilling a culture there and bringing in structure to that hockey team, which was already a talented team. And then, the general manager and Jimmy Rutherford went out and added some pieces. They got a big back end, and adding Zadorov helped it too. But even before that, bringing in Cole and Soucy along with Myers, they got some real size back there. And then adding the Lindholm, I think, was a great trade. It gives Rick, pieces to work with if he wants to move guys around a little bit. I know he had Peterson playing with Miller and Besser for a while, and that they had some success there. They were scoring a lot. And, but if you have a legit number two center there with Lindholm bringing him in, but they're a good team. They're playing a real good game. They play a heavy forecheck game, aggressive style of hockey. They're getting a lot out of Joshua Bluger and Garland, the third line there. They've done a real good job, and they're getting a lot out of them. So I think up and down our lineup, he's getting a lot out of his lineup. He's getting secondary scoring. And again, that defense has done a real good job for them. And obviously, their goaltending is very solid.
Where would your concern be with Vancouver in what's been a dream season?
Yeah, I don't know. Concern? You know, I'm not so sure I have concerns with them. Look, they're again, you're going to play a tough opponent right away. Like, you know, Vegas, Edmonton, you know, LA. I think LA is a good team. I think they, you know, obviously something went sour there for a while, but they could turn that around. They're a solid team. I mean, you're going to run into a tough opponent no matter what. And then it's just about playing real solid hockey and getting some breaks in the playoffs. You know how it goes. The teams are they're even, you know. It's tough matchups right away. Vancouver, like I said, they're pretty solid, I think, up and down their lineup. I do believe maybe they can add another piece up front somewhere. That would help. You know, I think they could use one more piece up front.
Is there a team between the three in the Pacific that really wants to win to avoid that tough first round matchup more so than the others?
I would say Vancouver, in my opinion. You know, that would be the team that I would think. I think you know, they'd rather grab the wild card right away than grab Edmonton, you know, who's on a roll right now. And I would think they would continue to keep playing well. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. Vegas, you know, they're tough opponents right away. you know, Vegas is still a great team. They're missing Eichel right now. And I believe one other player is out. I don't know who it is, but
Shea Theodore.
Theodore on the back end. But that's a solid hockey team. When they get healthy and they're all back, they're going to be tough to beat, in my opinion, too. So, but again, it's going to be great hockey to watch, you know, and it's great to see that there's, you know, that many teams right there that are very good and very competitive. It's great to see from a hockey standpoint.
Now, you've got a top six in the West between the Central and the Pacific, and I don't know whether I could tell you that there's a prohibitive favorite there.
I agree. They're all good teams, and they all can win. You know, I like I said, I give the edge a little bit to some of these teams that have the goaltending, because I do believe, like, a lot of times it's going to come down to that.
Jim Hiller goes in L.A. You did the same thing with St. Louis on the staff and then taking over. What's his primary goal in the first couple of weeks under the reins of that team?
Well, trying to figure out. I mean, obviously, there's something going on inside there. I would say maybe in their locker room or something. I think that would be his primary goal, is trying to figure that out and try to straighten that out. It's hard to play solid and good hockey on a nightly basis if there's issues in the locker room. But I think the other thing is just trying to instill some confidence back in that group. You know, they're playing unconfident hockey right now. That's what happens if you lose, you know, and not winning. The players become unconfident. So I think he's got to try to instill some confidence and some life back in that lineup.
How do you do that?
Well, I think just communication, talking to players, you know, starts in your practices for me, bringing some energy and life in practices fast, make practices fast, competitive, get guys feeling good about themselves. That's a start. That's a start. That's where you got to start, right in practice. It's got to start in practice and making sure that you, you know, you're bringing in guys and having conversations with them and see where they're at, what they're feeling, what they think's going on, you know, and get a real good vibe on everything.
Your comments about the locker room and potential fractions, so you didn't use that word, I will, coming off the comments from Drew Doughty and a couple of others. How do you mend that?
Well, I think you grab you know, like I said, you got to have conversations with your players individually and as a team, your leaders. And I think it's really pretty straightforward in my opinion. Like, listen, people get frustrated when you're not winning. A guy like Drew Doughty gets frustrated. He's been around a long time, played extremely well, won cups. He wants to win. That's why he's playing the game, is to win. And when, you know, people get frustrated at times and they voice their opinion and what they think is going on and what their beliefs are. And it's like, listen, that's part of hockey. As a coach, I've done it too. And, you know, players take it the wrong way. I get that. But in the end, things have to be fixed. So you say things from frustration at times. And I think you bring players in and you talk to them about that. And you can mend those situations pretty quickly, in my opinion, and move forward. But it's really important that you got to communicate to the player about, this is why this happened, and we got to fix this, and we got to move on from it. We got to play better. We got to do things differently here. We need you to do this, this, and this better than what you're doing. You know, I think you can fix those situations and fix those comments.
When you look at the wild card race, you've got your former club, you've got Nashville. Can those teams, and I know it's a tough spot, but just, is there really a different or a separation between the teams in the top three and the teams in the wild card beyond just what it looks like in the standings?
Right. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, like I think, like I said, you can get on a roll here and win four or five in a row and you're right there, right? And then the team that's in the wild card loses a couple, two or three, then they're going the other way. I think it's going to come right down to the end, to be honest with you. I don't see a lot of teams just folding up and not. I think teams are going to play really competitive hockey here down the stretch. And like I said, you get on a run and you win four or five in a row, you're right back in there. You're right in there. And if you go the other way and lose three, you know, you're looking on the outside.
Who do you think wins the West in the end? The regular season part, not the playoffs, but comes out on the two divisions.
Like Vancouver, I think that they're going real well. And like I said, I love that trade they just made. I think that's going to really boost them even more. And I don't think they're going to go the other way. I think they're going to keep winning and they're at the top right now. I don't see them, you know, climbing off of there. And, you know, I like Dallas and the other in the Central. I think they're the deepest team, in my opinion. I like their goaltending situation. And I think that their best hockey is yet to be played.
On the subject of goaltending, Laviolette's taking some heat right now because he's gone with Quick the last few. And the media wonders if there's a goalie controversy. How tough is that as a head coach, knowing that your starter's struggling a little bit? And you do. That's why you got a good backup to be able to lean on him. So walk us through that thought process.
Yeah, I did it 2 years ago in St. Louis. I mean, you know, basically, you know, Binnington was our starter, but Ville Husso played extremely well. And, you know, he essentially not took over number one spot, but I played him a lot down the stretch. He was our guy and I started him in the playoffs. And it is tough because you got to answer the questions and you got to, you know, it's, but at the same time, yes, it's tough with the questions with the media and everything. They want to know why, and they want all the answers. I think with your goaltenders, it's just, listen, Jonathan Quick's playing extremely well right now. We're going with him right now. That doesn't mean that you're not going to play. We want you to get some time. And that's the same thing I told Binnington. Get some practice time and get some real good work in with the goalie coach and the practice part of it. And, you know, it all worked out. I mean, the goalies, I get they want to play and they want to be the top guy, but it's a team game. And sometimes when the other guy's going a little bit better, we're going to run with them. And you got to take a back seat, work at your game, get ready, get prepared, make sure you're ready to get back in there when you're called upon. You got to be a team guy. And that's, you know, that's the bottom line.
How much oxygen does the goalie situation take up for a head coach?
I think your goalie coaches handle the goalies a lot. For the most part, they're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis, working with them, showing them video. But I just, you know, I think that you got to, as a head coach, you still got to make sure you're communicating with them, weekly and talking to them where they're at mentally and how things are going in their life and how you think they're playing, how do they think they're playing. So it's important a head coach communicates with them, but for the most part, the goalie coach in our situation in St. Louis, he handled the goalies quite a bit.
You're back east now, right?
Yep.
Okay. So
outside of Philly. I'm outside of Philly.
So you're watching that conference at least a lot closer geographically. How many teams can compete with the West from that Eastern Conference side?
Well, Boston Bruins have played really well this year. Very consistent hockey. I think nothing's changed there since they've lost Bergeron and Krejci, in my opinion.
How is
that? They play a very good style of game. They're very structured. They got great leadership. Their decor solid. Their goaltending solid, both of them. They got a great 1-2 punch in net. I love their decor. They got good leadership there. Marchand and Pastrnak and these guys have all learned from, from Chara to Bergeron down. They're leading away. They're getting some young guys in their lineup that are playing well, but that's a team there that uses everybody. They're using everybody and they're getting secondary scoring from a lot of people. Good special teams. So they're a consistent team, after that, I think it's a little bit wide open for me. The Rangers obviously were going real well. They're winning again now. I think they're a very solid team, the Rangers. From the goaltending defense out, they're a pretty solid team. I think they're going to be there in the end for sure. Carolina's played well of late. I know they lost to Vancouver the other night, but they're starting to play better. Again, they're a solid team. Like every year, they're going to be there for sure. After that, I think, Florida Panthers for me played real solid this year. I like that team a lot. They play with a lot of grit and bite. Pretty deep team all around. They're going to be difficult to beat, in my opinion, Florida.
Toronto seems to be like either you're in or you're out.
Top
that
heavy
team.
Like their top guys perform for them pretty well on a nightly basis. I think they need more from other people to move, to be better, and especially in the playoffs. They're going to have to really perform well as a team to perform in the playoffs, in my opinion. Like, they're going to need everybody to step up more than they are right now.
It's interesting
because they can't keep relying on their top end guys.
There's so much pressure on those guys, right? And and I don't know whether that's you make it sound like maybe that's not fair on those guys.
Well, listen, they get paid to perform like they are. So, I'm not saying that, but at the same time, you need more. You need depth. You need secondary scoring. It creates more of an identity on your team, if that makes sense, of what you're going to see night in and night out with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
As a head coach, when would you like to have your trade deadline deal done? Are you okay with it going down to the wire and having to assimilate somebody in, or would you like it sooner?
I think sooner you get more time. The player gets more time to get acclimated and learn systems, learn and get to know teammates better and form some chemistry. But, I don't, there's deals that are done at the deadline that work out too. So, but I'd like to get, I personally, I like them sooner. You get more time.
The Four Nations Cup is coming. The Olympics are coming. Your thoughts on just a Four Nations Cup next year and the idea of getting back to best on best?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's highly competitive and people are going to love it. And the players are going to love it. The players, they love that stuff. They can't wait to get in there and play. I think it's going to be a great event. I really do. And the fans are going to love it. They're going to want to watch it. And the Olympics are always great too, I think. And again, the players love the Olympics. I get why, you know, from an organizational standpoint, maybe the Olympics are a little too much at times. You can lose a player. You could get hurt. It could hurt your season. But in the end, it's great for hockey. It's great for the hockey fans. And it's, you know, who doesn't want to be in the Olympics?
You're right about that. There's just a special feeling. You get that badge and everybody wears the accreditation, right? You're not too cool to wear the accreditation. That's the summing up of the Olympic Games.
100%. Yeah.
Have you done any mock rosters or looked at any mock rosters?
No, I haven't yet.
No?
Well, I got time on my hands. Maybe I should start putting them together.
if you, Rod, and Talk are on the bench together, three former teammates.
Yeah.
Who's running the bench?
Well, that's a good question. I think we might have to flip a coin on that one. But I know Talk's going to want to run it for sure. And whether he's running it or not, he's going to let me know that he's running it.
Is he more intense than Rod?
I think a different intensity. You know, I Talk's very intense person. I think, and listen, Roddy, you know, I don't know Roddy's style other than seeing him on the bench. But I know Talk's style behind the scenes, and he's pretty intense and pretty animated on things and meetings and all that stuff. You know, I'm not sure on Roddy. I just know Roddy as a former player. Roddy was quiet guy, you know, went to work, hardworking guy, whether it's in the gym, on the ice, all that, not a lot of conversation. You know, he did his job and he did it very well. Extremely hard worker. Talk, on the other hand, a lot of conversation, you know, we're good buddies. So it was always, you know, battling and talking hockey and arguing about stuff and, you know, things like that. It's the same now. Me and him talk quite a bit, you know, weekly about the game and his team and where they're at and what's going on. What am I seeing? So I love it because I watch them as much as I can and see where they're at and what they're doing. And if I can help them out in any way, it's great.
So he's like not a formal consultant, but he bounces things off you?
Well, we've always been like that, I think.
Even when you were coaching against each other?
When I was coaching and when he wasn't coaching, he was doing TNT, we talked. And when he was in Arizona, I was in St. Louis. We've always been close that way, talking the game and, you know, what's going on with our teams and what we're seeing. So we're very close that way. And, you know, I enjoy it now, like I'm not doing a whole lot. So anytime I could talk to him about hockey and how, and you know, I'm learning too from him and what he's doing there with his team and how he's getting the results he's getting and what's going on. So it's great for me to learn too.
So what did he tell you about TNT having been in there?
He said it's going to be, he said, I like it. You know, he really enjoyed it. And like I said, you know, you go in there and I've only done it once, but really they want you to be yourself and, you know, they want you to tell some stories about some hockey stories about people and about things that happened and just give your views on coaching and the game and what you think about what's going on in that game and talk. Like, so it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So we'll see how it goes. If I do it again, that'd be great. And, like I said, great people to work with there.
So you think you'll be back behind the bench next year?
I hope so. I want to coach. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, like I said, you know, we'll hopefully talk to teams and see where they're at and their situation. And it's got to be a good fit for me. You know, I want it to be a good fit. I want to work with good people and, you know, have a chance to win again.
So you wouldn't just take a job to take a job?
Well, like I said, it's got to be the right situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of DJ taking the assistant job?
I think one, you know, knowing DJ pretty well, he's probably a little itchy right now sitting around. Two, he knows Hiller well, right? They work together in Toronto. And I think, you know, they're good buddies. So I think that's probably, you know, it's good for Jimmy too to bring him in because he knows him well and he's worked with him and he trusts him, and you know it's a good pickup for the LA Kings and for Jimmy.
Sounds like fun. Like be an assistant, you don't take the heat, and you're in LA. Sounds like a blast.
I'm sure it will be, you know.
And knowing DJ, it will be a blast.
Yeah, DJ, he's a great guy, full of energy and fun. He's got to probably get to that beach and do some running on the beach in the afternoons when he's done working.
What do you do all day?
Well, I mean, I get to the gym a lot. I like to work out. That's a big part of my daily routine, whether I'm coaching or not. I want to get in there and get that work done. Busy with my kids. You know, me and my wife have three 15-year-olds in the house. I've got twin 15-year-olds. So, you know, I take them to school, pick them up. Two of them play hockey, driving around with hockey and all that stuff. And just, you know, you're a hired Uber driver. They want to go a lot of places with friends and do things. So I'm constantly doing that stuff. I go watch quite a bit of games. Philly, Jersey's not far away. You know, doing a little bit of, a little bit of scouting for Army, watching certain players for them. So I get the games and, you know, it's good to be around the game and see people and all that stuff. So I try to do that as much as I can.
You're used to being on the wrong side of decisions as a head coach, people questioning you. But as somebody with three 15-year-olds, wow, that's crazy.
I'm on the wrong side all the time about everything.
Yeah, you're wrong all the time.
They're good kids, though. You know, it's fun. Like, normally I'm not around them that much because they stay here when I'm gone coaching. So, you know, they obviously visit and things like that, but it's kind of nice to be around, everybody full time.
I feel even better now, leaning on your expertise, getting a chance to really engage with you, knowing that you've got those three teenagers in the house. Thanks, Craig. Yeah. This has been awesome, buddy. And enjoy TNT. That's been fun to watch you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Just want to expand on the playoff pictures because we know what the top part of the West looks like, and maybe a little more of a mixed bag, as Craig alluded to, in the Eastern Conference. But you've got this wild card situation, and it's a little bit clearer now than it was even a couple of weeks ago as far as who's going to have a shot at this thing, and a couple of teams have dropped out. And in the Eastern Conference, you've got a few teams vying for this thing. And New York Islanders made the coaching change. Patrick Waugh's in. Pittsburgh Penguins trying to resurrect things on the heels of Erik Karlsson coming in the offseason. Hasn't worked out, at least to give themselves any type of comfort that they're going to be able to make it in. And the New Jersey Devils, in last year, part of the Stadium Series coming up, that's going to be a lot of fun, but I bet they won't be able to enjoy it just quite as much as they would have liked because they're in a dogfight right now. Of those three teams trying to get into a wild card spot, New Jersey Devils, when Jack Hughes is up and running, I think that they have a chance. I do believe they'll get some goaltending. That should give them some stability. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I'm not sure whether it's the high price or whether they're loyal or believe that something will turn or click with the goaltenders that they have and have played this year. But I like the New Jersey Devils being able to take that next step. The Islanders, with Patrick Waugh and Sorokin and what they've been able to do, wouldn't count them out, wouldn't be surprised there. But I think don't like to do this. I have kind of a rule. Don't bet against Sidney Crosby, and that's basically what I'm doing right now. So in the end, it'll probably be Pittsburgh Penguins who will get in. No, I think New Jersey does get in the Eastern Conference. And in the West, you have teams like L.A. and St. Louis and Nashville, basically all the same in that wild card position. Nashville and St. Louis, at the time of this recording, are even. L.A., this is on the players, and I think they do resurrect this thing. I will say they stayed in house with Jim Hiller. And I've been around Jim as an assistant coach when I was in Toronto, and I like him. I love the addition of DJ Smith coming over from Ottawa, let loose there. So why not lean on him? If you've got a good relationship with somebody, you can bring in a guy that's coached, been a head coach in the league this year. Just makes perfect sense. So that's some outside-the-box thinking. Not a lot of organizations would do that. Not a lot of interim coaches would do that. So Jim Hiller does, and I think it's fantastic. But if you're going to make a coaching change, why wouldn't you look at somebody like Craig Berube to come in right now? Like he's done it before. I know he was part of the staff in St. Louis when they won and took over the head coaching reins, and it worked out marvelously, and this time it would be coming from outside the organization, but he's right there, and he is a motivator, he's a tactician. It didn't sound, when I asked Craig if he's had some detailed conversations, but I do question just a little bit. Maybe there's budgetary concerns too, right? Craig's going to cost a lot of money, and they're paying Todd McClellan $5 million for the next 2 years. So there might be that. And trust me, I know about budgets and dealing with it. It can get a little bit daunting on it. Maybe a little bit too much information there. But I would have thought LA would have been a perfect situation for Craig Berube to go in and take that team and that emotion of that team and channel it in the right direction. St. Louis, they need some help, and I think that Doug Armstrong is very pragmatic when it comes to dealing with the situation at hand. And does he see that team able to make an extended run with the brilliance in the Western Conference right now? So might not be the right time to sell off assets to bring something in as a rental right now. I could see St. Louis really standing pat and just taking their chances with what they have right now. And then you have Nashville. I think Nashville's overachieved so far. I've been really loving what they've done with Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz, first-year general manager as well. And I think that they'll tweak things a little bit there with Nashville to try and get in. Can Seattle get hot? They've been up and down all year, and at different times, multiple occasions this year, been one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. They've got another run in them. I think that's going to be available for them to make a push on the likes of St. Louis, Nashville, LA, who are all fighting for a couple of spots. Seattle will be in that mix. Calgary is the sell-off start, and Arizona, they have so many assets. I thought they would have made a move by now to strengthen their position. Not just being in a race, but trying to get in the playoff picture just to see Stanley Cup playoff games of the mullet. But I'm a little surprised that they didn't do something more dramatic sooner leading up to the National Hockey League trade deadline. So there's just a little observation with what happened on that side of it. And the individual awards, boy, are they ramping up. And is anything decided right now? There is not an individual award that there is a clear favorite right now. Some people think MacKinnon over Kucherov for the MVP. You might be right on that. Maybe there is some separation on that side, but Kucherov still has a chance for the scoring race, the Art Ross, and then on the blue line with the Norris. Like, nothing's decided, so it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and I can't wait to watch it along with you and Craig Berube as we take things down the stretch towards the National Hockey League trade deadline in less than a month. And then, of course, we got the final month of the National Hockey League season to see who gets in to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Thanks for listening. I'm Darren Millard. We'll talk to you next week on the Chirp Podcast.